Bank of Cardiff. This is Pete. Can I please start off with your 16-digit reservation code, please?
Yes. 251-1-2001-0001-5218.
Perfect. Give me 1 second to pull up your file. How's your day going so far?
So far, so good. How about you?
Busy. Getting closer to the end of the year. So everyone's making those decisions now. Whom am I speaking with, Elizabeth or Nathaniel?
You're speaking to Elizabeth.
Perfect. And Elizabeth, we've been having a little bit of some phone issues, just switching between new phone systems. What's a good number to contact you back, just in case it drops?
508-668-6073.
Perfect. Is that your cell?
No, that's the office phone.
All right, perfect.
My cell does not work in the office.
Understand. Perfect.
No, it's a pain in the neck.
All right. So just need to confirm a couple pieces of info, just protocol we have on the business, and then feel free to answer any questions you have, and I'll point you in the right direction here. What's the legal name of the business?
Hunter Environmental Winter Storm Services, LLC.
Perfect. Is that the DBA name as well?
That is the DBA name as well.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. And the structure of the business is an LLC, I'm assuming?
That is true.
And how long have you been in business for?
5 years.
5 years? Nice. Mm-hmm. And are you... is the ownership split between you and Nathaniel, or?
Well, with an LLC, he's the managing partner.
Okay, so he's 100% owner, I guess, just for equity reasons.
Yeah.
Perfect.
He's your guy. I'm simply the serf.
I like that. And can you please confirm the address, Elizabeth?
492 Lincoln Road. Walpole, Massachusetts, 02081.
Perfect. All right, so tell me a little bit about your business, what you guys are trying to do, what's your goals here?
We do commercial snow plowing in the winter. That's plowing lots minimum size 2 acres with at least a mile of walkways.
Wow.
That means... For equipment, think loaders, very large trucks, hydraulic articulated snow plows.
Not your run-of-the-mill average equipment.
No. Forget the pickup truck with the plow on it.
Yeah, you guys, it sounds like you have like a bulldozer almost.
Loaders, actually. And the hydraulic articulated plow, it runs about 14 to 18 feet wide, depends on the size you order. And it has wings on the side that can be controlled by the operator in the vehicle. So it can plow a huge swath, and then it can become a scoop and dump it.
Wow, okay. I'm understanding the logistics behind this here. So what do your average customers look like?
In the summertime, by the way, we do demolition.
Okay.
And then, what does the average customer look like? Brickman of the... Oh, that's not their name anymore. It'll come to me. But huge landscaping companies that handle the grass cutting and the, you know, mountains of bark mulch, but don't want to get involved in snow plowing. So they call us in as their subs to clear... office complexes, hospital parking lots, hotel lots, generally anybody, data centers, anybody who has zero tolerance for either snow or ice in their parking lot because they're running 24/7 and they can't afford the liability of somebody slipping.
Mm-hmm. No, 100%. It's definitely a large liability. And so what I'm basically getting at to recap is larger commercial landscaping companies are, rather than getting the heavy equipment, are just turning to you to subcontract these projects.
Right.
I got
exactly
you.
Right.
And now
we have
do
some individual clients on our own.
Okay.
It's split about 50-50 between subbing work for these big guys and are dealing with our own customers.
Okay, so you have a different revenue streams, I guess you would call it. Quick question, though. When you get contract or subcontracted by the landscape company, are you getting paid by them or are you getting paid by their account that they're working on? You know what I mean?
We're being paid by their customer, but through them.
Okay.
Each contract is between the customer and Hunter Environmental, with the landscape company as a middleman.
Okay.
Because somebody has to approve the work at various times or authorize work not covered by the contract. And the client wants it to be the landscape company because they don't want to hire a snow czar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's how it works.
Okay.
Trust me, every contract is individually tailored to the customer's needs. That means a separate fee schedule, a whole nine yards.
Okay, very interesting. So what's more of the priority, I guess, of the business? Do you guys, is the slow season in the summertime when you do the demolition, or is...
The slow season, usually everything winds down, including any repairs that need to be done, like to curbing, so that the retainage, which is held back during the season and is usually 0.5% of each billing, gets paid only when everything is put back the way it should be. And then we switch over to demolition.
Okay.
Some land clearing, but mostly demolition.
And when does that usually take place, that transitionary period? March?
April, we're done with snow clearing, and so it's usually May when either land clearing or demolition starts up.
So, okay. So you guys are pretty quick on that transition. Doesn't seem like things take too for much of a dip as far as revenues go.
No, you make less money in the summer because in the snow business, the way it works out, you'd think it was just about how many inches of snow fell. And that's useful, but every contract's different. So sometimes you get paid by the inch of snow. Sometimes you get paid by the hour worked. And sometimes a client simply doesn't want to think about it, so they pay a large sum of money every month. And
you have to make sure it's just always clear?
It's always clear, up until a cap on the number of inches of snow.
Mm-hmm.
Which is usually about 75 inches because our average winter here is 46 inches.
Okay.
And obviously 2 years ago...
Got slammed.
We were way over the cap.
Last year wasn't so bad, right? It really didn't start snowing on the East Coast till later, right?
Yeah, but it turned out to be an average winter for snow, but what made it a very lucrative winter was that we had ice storms. And if you don't want ice in your parking lot, you sign up for salting and sanding. And that goes later in the season because if you have snow piles, they melt during the day and they freeze at night.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the spreading of the salt that is the high margin end of the business.
I was just going to ask that. That seems like it could be a lot more profitable. Mm-hmm. What's the comparison in margins between, you know, salting and, you know, just general plowing? I just ballpark, you know, is it, you know, twice as lucrative?
50%? Yeah, no, I'd say it's twice.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah.
That's a big difference.
Yep.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about, you know, the future this year. What are you looking to do? Are you financing equipment?
We're looking for working capital to cover registering vehicles and get everything basically up to snuff to go. All the insurances on the vehicles and the registrations and so forth come due between now and the 1st of December. When, you know, I just put out an invoice for $30,000, we'll probably get to keep 2/3 of that. But this is the lean time, and so we're looking for working capital to get us through that. If we decide, and it's not, I say we, but if Nathaniel decides that we need to replace a plow or two, that gets expensive, as you can imagine.
Of course.
So it would be nice to have access to money to just do it, as opposed to patch through our own financing.
Of course, of course. Now, just to just give you a little bit of background information, for the work, have you used working capital before? Just to, as a brief preface? No? Okay. So the way that works, it's an unsecured loan based on your revenues from, you know, current and the year before. And it is more expensive than a equipment loan because it's the equipment is obviously a secured loan.
Yep.
So as far as just overall payback and term length, for equipment you're looking for, you know, 2 to 5 years, your traditional, you know, financing like a car. And for the working capital, much more short term because it is unsecured loan, the majority of the risk is on us, so they don't extend terms that long. So if you are planning to use, because, well, this is a common misconception, is some people would, although it's nice because it's unsecured and you can just use it as needed, like a line of credit almost, buying equipment with it is very, it's just not a good idea because you're just going to be paying.
It would make more sense then to go back to you for equipment.
Like a separate deal, exactly what I'm saying.
Okay.
So for getting the registration and all that, you do a working capital loan. That's perfect, good use on it. But as far as don't use that money to buy any equipment, because doing an equipment deal is much more aligned with what you're trying to do.
That makes sense.
So, have you looked at any, you know, costs for the vehicle registration? Have you know what did it cost last year for this about the same amount?
Yeah, it was about $7,000 or $8,000.
Okay.
And then if you add the, sadly, if you add the insurance in, it's another $16,000. And you see, this is the time when we don't have the cash flow to really support that, so we end up paying the insurance monthly, which gets expensive.
How much more expensive is it to do the monthly payments? Like, can you give me an example? Say, maybe the insurance was $16,000, you said. If you broke it down into monthly and paid them, would it end up costing you $20,000, or what are we looking at?
Let me do the math. It's an extra $2,000.
Okay. One sec, I'm just writing notes by hand here.
Mm-hmm. We may not be suitable clients. I'm responding because we keep getting these love notes from you guys in the mail, and then a lady called me up and said, you know, you haven't answered us. And I thought, okay, I'll answer you. That's why you're
not. Oh, of course. No, of course. And you know what? That's my job here is to... not trying to push anything on you, is to just see what your goals are trying to do and align them up. Because we have, you know, programs, credit tiers, A through D. We have something for everybody. So, you know, I just want to learn about what you're looking to do, and, you know, I'll get you in the appropriate program.
We were thinking of about $50,000 working capital, and we were looking to pay it back by March of next year.
So more short term. What I'm on math. What is that? About 6 months, just give or take. Okay, so you're looking for a shorter term. Just ideally, what these loans are for. Now, so $50,000. What else are you going to be using? I'm doing the math. As far as the registration, all that, the insurance should come out to around $24,000. Is that right?
Yep. And then giving everything a full tank of diesel, that's another $6,000.
Okay.
And throw in another $2,000 for the portable tanks. And then the balance would be pretreated salt.
All right, wait. Diesel would be $8,000. What did you say? What was the $2,000?
I'm sorry?
What was the...
That would be... there are portable... I'll call them gas tanks. that go on the flatbed truck so that in the middle of a storm, even I can get into the truck and bring fuel to the guy that needs it.
Okay, I understand. Now I get it. Okay, so that's about another 10 grand there we're looking at. And then the rest for salt.
Yep.
So just to recap, if we're going to do 50K total, 8K on the full tank of diesel, 2K on the reserve gas tanks, and the other 24 for insurance registration. And then what does that leave us with? About 16, right?
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. That's 16 for salt.
Yeah, okay. We buy the 100 ton.
How much would you be able to get with the 16 grand worth of salt?
About... wait a minute. Do it right now. 16,000. We'd be able to get almost 20 tons.
20 tons of... Okay.
17,000. 391
pounds. Wow, that's a lot of salt. And will that last you the whole year, or will you have to?
That'll get you rolling.
Gotcha. What did you guys do in gross annual sales last year? Just a ballpark.
287,000.
Okay, 287.
And when I say year, I'm talking snow season from November through the end of the season this year.
I'm talking about as a company in general. Is it Hunter Environmental Winter one company and then the demolition one a separate entity?
It's all under one umbrella.
Okay, perfect. So what is that 287 for the whole umbrella or just the winter?
That is basically just the winter.
Yeah, what'd you do on your taxes, you know, top-line revenue for the whole company, 2015?
2015. That was about 420.
Okay, perfect.
But that's because of an extraordinary winter. Nobody can plan on that winter again.
Mm-hmm. So normally for the year you're right around maybe 350-ish on a typical year. I got
That's
you.
That's about right.
Perfect.
But your offering letter was touting $250,000, and that's really not an appropriate borrowing.
No. That's just a general, because the reason we say that is the equipment. That's combining equipment and capital. And yep. Capital has thresholds for what we're, you know, willing to give you versus your revenue. The equipment is a different ball game. It's more credit based, time and business based, industry based. So that's why, you know, the 250K, it's like for someone like
it's
you
an attention grabber.
Yeah, that is part of the reason. But, you know, it's more of you know, we'll get you capital for what you're approved for, and then, you know, the equipment is kind of, if you have a strong business, there's no thresholds on that. You have a good credit, there's no thresholds. You could, you know, we can get you whatever you want. How is your credit, by the way? Or I guess Nathaniel's credit, because he's owner on the business. Personal credit, you know, just ballpark.
I guess it's good.
Okay. Nice. And say, you know, we got you the 50,000 capital that you needed. What would be your return on investment on something like that? You know, I know you're going to save about 2,000 in the registration end. You know, your margins are good on the salt.
I would be looking for it to save us, depending on. I hate doing this because how much you save on the salt for instance, depends on what kind of a winter you have.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously the price goes up
as the winter goes through.
Yeah, you know, there have been years when it's barely budged, and then there have been other times when it goes through the roof because you've got a huge demand, and it comes in, by interestingly enough, by boat from North Africa.
Really?
Yes.
I guess there's salt quarries there.
Yeah, and they what you want is the stuff that's been treated with, of all things, beet juice.
That is just the wildest thing I've ever heard.
Well, I'll tell you why. It freezes at a lower point than water. If you throw salt in water, beet juice, it looks kind of a disgust. It looks like dried blood when you get it.
Is there any other, you know, maybe non-organic thing that they use, or just beet juice is the preferred?
That's the Cadillac of salt.
Beet juice infused salt. Hey, you learn something new every day. continue.
Hmm?
Continue.
Yeah, so anyway, I would say I would expect to save possibly as much as 7.5% of the 10,000, so that would be 10% would be 10 cents. No. Oh God, I'm doing it. I need a calculator. Hang on. I'd be looking
no worries.
To save between $5,000 and $7,000 in the course of a year.
Okay, so that's going to save you around $5,000 to $7,000. You know, ballpark. Yep. Again, none of these numbers are going to be, you know, super solid. You have an industry that really depends on, of all things, nature. So I understand it's not really the easiest thing for you to just spit a number out there for you. It's not like your clothing company or something.
It's how good is the number that I spit.
Yeah, exactly. Because like, when you're dealing with somebody, you know, maybe like selling clothes or importing things from China, they can say, all right, well, I make a 25% return. Doesn't matter what. It always happens. And, you know, it's a lot more predictable. Elizabeth, tell me a little bit about your past financing history. I guess when it comes to capital, what have you done before? Have you just gone through your bank, a line of credit, anything like that?
A line of credit at the bank.
What bank do you work with?
Rockland Federal Credit Union.
Perfect. Do you have you used all your lineup? How much is it for?
The line's for 20, and we're pretty darn close to the top now. Waiting on the check from the last demolition job, which will pay us out of the line and give us a cushion.
Perfect. Do you have any other kind of loans on the business? Any working capital? Any other kind of loan whatsoever?
There's some equipment financing.
Okay.
Which is, we're winding down with a deal that used to be with GE Capital. It's, Wells Fargo took it over, and it's for a bunch of Bobcats, and we pay out of that in November, but that's 0% financing.
Wow.
And then we bought a bunch of plows last year, and we'll be paying that off for the next 3 years. The financed amount was $50,000, and we pay $1,888.89 a month.
Wow. Really got that number?
Yes.
And any kind of capital loans or anything like that?
No, the demo insurance we pay monthly, but that's because we canceled the policy at the end of the season.
I understand. And, you know, just to recap, we were looking at something around $50,000, shorter,
yep.
About 6 month term.
Yep.
Right. And just, you know, you said you did about 420 last year. This is going to be based mostly on last year, so it will actually allow you to get a little bit more than maybe what you're looking to do this year. Because it's a general, about 10 to 15% of top line revenue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
that makes sense.
So, you're right around that, you know, about 15% of about 420, Yeah, you're right around that 50K mark. We could probably get moved. We'll do something around there. If we did.
What's the interest rate?
Okay, good. So the interest rate is all predicated based on the credit, the personal credit, and more so just the amount of revenues and, you know, what they see in their bank. And that's all done on the underwriting side. What is good, though, is that we can get you I can't really spit any numbers out. Just for equipment, I can tell you more of a general, because it's a lot more structured. For working capital, it could be a number of different things. But we are quick on getting responses from underwriting. It takes about 24 hours once I get the paperwork in. And then you just know what your options are. You know what you're looking at as far as, you know, payments and terms go. But that's why we collect all this info up front, so that, you know, we get to fit you into a program with what you're looking to do.
Uh-huh, okay.
So when do you think, I'll email everything I need. It's a really short list, just like tax return, some business bank statements, and the application.
The tax return for 2015 has not been filed yet.
Okay, we could do
until October.
We could do 2014. It's okay. We can work with that.
Okay.
And then
from your point of view, it makes much more sense, because 2015 was such an anomalous year. We did really well, but it's craziness. It's absolute craziness.
No, definitely. We want to get a good look at it. The tax return just, you know, is more of a formality / we use that to make sure the equity structure is there, that, you know, the ownership is all accounted for. That's mostly what that's used for. As far as, like, determining what the amount we can afford to free up for you, that's going to be on the bank statement end. So that's why we asked for 6 months, so we can get a really good look of, you know, what everything's been like this year. If you want, though, since you are somewhat seasonal, I encourage anybody in that kind of industry, any seasonalities, to send 12 months, because it just lets us get a more accurate view. And because your busy season is in the winter time, you know, if you're giving us 6 months of bank statements, won't really reflect what you normally do. You know what you understand?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to ask for 12 months just in your case, because you are seasonal. But like I said, it's just tax returns, bank statements, application. We'll get you some numbers in 24 hours, and then if it makes sense to you, if you like the, you know, what we have to offer, we can get you documents out, signed, get this done by next week. If it's not, you know, we can see what else we can do.
Okay, thank you very much.
No
the
problem.
I'm going on vacation Tuesday, and I won't be back until late on the 26th. So that may slow getting stuff to you.
Oh, if I send you the information, I'll, you know, 5 minutes after you get off the phone, if you can get that back to me by possibly later today, maybe tomorrow morning, you know, we should probably have feedback by Monday for you. Do you think you could do that? Or yeah, we do move really fast on the underwriting end. You know, if not, it's not the end of the world. You know, you're looking to do this pretty soon.
Do you need the whole tax return or just the first couple pages?
If you have the whole one, just I need a the first page, which shows revenue, and then the equity part of it, which I think is either a Schedule G or a Schedule K-1, depending on the structure of your business, how your taxes are done. Just something that'll say Nathaniel, 100% owner, things like that, owns all the equity.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people can get these back in like 30 minutes, you know, an hour or so. It's not too much paperwork.
Okay, I will give it a shot.
All right, and is the accounting at, what does that say, Hunter
Environment?
When it's all in one word, it's really hard to separate where one word ends.
Yeah, that's me.
All right, I'll send it over there, and if I don't hear back from you by the end of the day tomorrow, I'll give you a ring just to follow up.
Thanks so much.
All right, sounds good. Take care, Elizabeth.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.